Subject I'd like to look at this afternoon is walking with God. This morning, Sister Maxine was talking about the things that can come into our life as we walk with God, things that He allows to come into our life. Maybe they're tests for us to be able to grade ourselves of where we are with Him. And I appreciate that because you know what? What is it? Jeremiah 29:11. I know the thoughts that I have towards you. They are thoughts of peace and not of evil to bring you to an expected end. What is our expected end at the end of it all is to make heaven our home. I said, He's not willing that any would perish, but that all were to come to repentance. Well, that sounds like just on the day of salvation. But you know what? He's not willing that any would perish on through our Christian experience. But that we would come to places of, you know, repentance seemed like, okay, it's a deep sin and I had to totally repent and start over again. But, you know, we can come to places where we repent before the Lord. Lord, I am sorry I said it that way. Or I'm sorry I have let this attitude creep up into me. Lord, I'm sorry that I realize now that I have this unforgiveness towards somebody. And I repent of that and I need your help to be able to help me. That's all involved in walking with God. And what I'd like for us to look at this afternoon is some examples in the Bible of people that walked with God. The first one that I thought about was in Genesis 5:24 when it talked about Enoch. It's just almost nothing that we know about him except for one little thing that explains so much. Enoch walked with God and he was not because the Lord took him. That's just a few words, but it involves hundreds of years of his life. And that it, when it all got summed up, it just said, here's the final sum of it all. He walked with God, and he was not. The Lord took him. And then there's another little verse that talks about Enoch. And it says in Hebrews 11:5, because we understand Enoch was only one of two that did not have to see death. That's something kind of special for Enoch. And here it says in the 5th verse, Hebrews 11, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now you know what? If we can have that testimony that we pleased God, there is really nothing greater that we can have in life. Not just my testimony that I did, but God backing it up, saying that I did. So I was looking at a few. I look at Job. God had a testimony himself of Job. Said he was a perfect and an upright man. He feared God. He hated evil. That sounds like a person that is lined up to make heaven their home. But however long it took, from Job the first chapter to Job the 42nd chapter, there were some things where the Lord came along to make little adjustments with Job. Things that he allowed to bubble to the top in Job's life. What was that? It wasn't a big sin. But what it was after a while, when you're in the battle long enough, you can start questioning God. Why are you allowing this? I think about with what's happening with Vanessa and Michael and Renee. You know, after so long of a time, you could start questioning. I understand a little better about what Job got himself into as a look at what they're going through. What Job did was he just said, I kind of wish I could get an audience with God. I got some things I'd like to talk to him about. And you know, somehow it must have been his attitude was more than just, Lord, could you help me to understand how to go through this battle? It was almost bringing Job up to a level of, God, I need you to start explaining why you're doing what you're doing. And the Lord came to him. This is part of walking with God. The Lord came to him and said, okay, Job, we're going to have this audience. Gird up your loins. Get ready to talk because I've got some things I want you to look at. He said, who has counsel without knowledge? You know, really, anything we can try to give God counsel about, we don't have knowledge. He was there when he spoke it into existence. And when he's told Job, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? You know, then things start just kind of balancing out here. Now, wait a minute. Who am I even to ask God? What does it say about the potter and the clay? Is it possible that the clay would say, why have you made me thus? Instead, what I need to say is, Lord, you made this vessel the way it is. Now use it to the best of your ability, my ability. I appreciate the way Job's ended up. You know, there's many places where man does not take responsibility for his actions. You know, Job could have finished it out saying, I still have problems about all this. But you know, after about three or four chapters at the end of Job, Job said, I'm going to lay my hand on my mouth. I'm not saying another word. I spoke once and I'm not going to do it again. And you know what? It says that God turned his affliction. And one of the things that turned his affliction was when he prayed for his friends. What were those? Those three have carried a title from that time to this time. And usually somebody adds, they say the three comforters, but somebody tacked another word on there, the three miserable comforters. They came, and it was interesting how they came. When they saw him, they were so impressed by the serious affliction and what was happening to him that they sat there. It says they sat there with him for 7 days and did not say a word. But you know what was happening in their head while they were sitting there? It came out just as soon as they started speaking. The one, I believe, is the first one that spoke. When he opened his mouth and started talking, he said, I have never seen a righteous man suffer this kind of affliction. Job, what have you done? Go ahead and tell us what you did, and let's get this thing cleared up, or maybe the Lord can help you. You know, those are some tests that come to us. And what we find is, you know what, God allows some of those things to come to us to help us to be able to be perfected in him. It said he was a perfect and an upright man. There's another one, David. What title did David have? He was a man after God's own heart. That's what I've always heard said. And so, you know, we live in a day and time where once saved, always saved. Was he always a man after God's own heart? And was that what was said about him anyhow? Let's go to 1 Samuel. The 13th chapter is where I found it. If you know of another place, we'll look at it. But in 1 Samuel 13 and 14 is where Samuel is talking to Saul. And he says in the 13th verse, you've done foolishly. You haven't kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. If you would have, you'd establish thy kingdom upon Israel forever, but now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people. We understand that is talking about David, but I like to look at how it was worded. The Lord has sought for a man after his own heart. David filled that position for a while. You know what? David was not a man after God's own heart when he sinned the sin that he did. But what I like about that is he could again be a man after God's own heart. And I love the story of David. When Nathan came to David and told him the little story about the man that had the little lamb, the other one had many sheep, and a visitor comes to the man with many sheep and he needs to kill one of them for him. Instead, he goes over and he takes the one away from the man that has only one. And David gets stirred up, so stirred up that he could not think about that this story could possibly be talking about him. And he even gives, here's what's going to happen to that man. First of all, he's going to die. And then Nathan said, you're the man. Mm-hmm. You know, what a shock to him when he's been thinking about sheep and injustices about sheep. Never realizing, I have a lot of wives here. And I just took one. Oh, I think he may be talking about me. It never dawned on him until Nathan told him, "You're the man." But there was a secret about David. When he realized what was happening, he said, "I have sinned." And we get to read his prayer that he got. I'd like to look at it for just a little bit. In Psalms 51. This is all involved in walking with God. Things that can happen in our life and changes that we can make in it. I like this, where he went back with his prayer of repentance. Psalms 51. "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before thee." And then he goes on down in the 10th verse. "Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of salvation." I love that part of David's life where he saw, "I've done wrong." You know, it sounds like he and Nathan were alone somewhere together when that happened. David could have easily said, "Nathan, you're the only one that knows it. I'm going to have your life taken too, and this is going to continue on." Instead, David stopped right there, and he turned around. So this place of saying that the Lord has sought for a man after his own heart, David could have not been that man and lost it out completely. But instead, David was willing to humble himself. Yes. We're going to have places come in our life where I've got to humble myself. Yes. You know what? It's the mercy of the Lord to show me places, whether it's attitudes, whether it's my dealings with others, or whatever it is, for the Lord to show me, this is who you are. And it needs to be adjusted, because what's happening is we're all headed for eternity. And his desire is to make those adjustments for us while he can. There's another place about David. It's in 1 Samuel 30th chapter. You remember where David and his men have just come back from some battles and all, and they're coming home. Families are going to be home. We'll be there in just a little bit. And they come up on the city, Ziklag, and it has been burned with fire, and there's no family members there. It said he and his men wept until there was no more strength to weep. And then something else happened. His men started speaking of stoning David. You know, "You're the leader. Why couldn't you think of what to do to prevent this from happening?" And I love what it says about David. It says he encouraged himself. You know, that'd be something. When all around you is discouragement, and even pointing toward you're the cause of the discouragement, and David could encourage himself in the Lord. And I love one of the places where he says, Psalms 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And it says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me." That all is part of walking with God. So I want to look for just a little bit at another man that walked with God. It's King Saul. When you read the story of Saul over in 1 Samuel, the 10th chapter, you know, Saul is not even having any thought about being the leader. He's got some donkeys that are lost, and I'm going out to try to find them. And Samuel has been told by God, this is going to be the ruler of the land. 1 Samuel 10 and 6. Samuel is talking to Saul. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is going to come upon you. You're going to prophesy with them, and you're going to be turned into another man. I'm going to make some changes in you that will prepare you for being the leader of the country." And it goes on down in the 10 and 9. It was so. Let's see. Where it says where God gave him another heart. 10 and 9, did I not look at it? Yeah. "It was so that when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, God gave him another heart." a change that happened in Saul right there. And you know, there are some places where it tells us about how Saul began. You remember when he was here, he's going to be the king now. It's time they bring all of Israel together. And in the 10th chapter and the 22nd verse, it's time for him to be shown to the people. And it says they inquired of the Lord if the man should yet come hither. And the Lord said they couldn't find him. He's gone. We're waiting to introduce this new king to you, and he's disappeared. And so they're asking him, and the Lord tells them, behold, he has hid himself among the stuff. Now that's a real ruler for you right there. Walking with God, he realized he had no ability of himself. It's time for him to be the king. It said he was like head and shoulders taller than everybody else. You know, he could have strolled in there and said, I'm fixing to take it on for y'all. But instead, he realized, you know what, I can't do this on my own. And I think of we have choices that we make in our life. Deuteronomy 30:19 says, I've set before you life and death and blessing and cursing. Now you choose. But he also gives a little hint there. Why don't you choose life so that both you and your seed may live? So I think about Saul with that. How that God has given him a choice to make. David took responsibility for his actions. Did Saul take responsibility for his actions? I think we heard this morning about Saul when in the first Samuel 15, where Saul is told what to do, go out and destroy all of the Amalekites. And it's what he said when he came back. 1 Samuel 15 and 10. Because I find this is something that can be human nature. Then came the word of the Lord to Samuel, saying, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king. He's turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandments. And it goes up in the 13th verse, Samuel's coming to Saul. You know, Saul could have at that time said, I want to tell you, I am sorry, I have not done what I was supposed to do. But here Saul tells him, blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Quite a difference from when David has been met by Nathan and when Saul has been met by Samuel. And Samuel tells him, said, well, if you've done the will of the Lord, what's this? What am I hearing? The bleating of the sheep and the lowing of the oxen. And here's what Saul has to say. They have brought. You know, one of the first things that if I'm going to follow the Lord, I'm going to have to be quick to accept responsibility when the Lord says, Dan, it's you. Because, you know, I can say, I remember when I was a child and mom says, come on in for your whipping. You know, I want to tell, but let me tell you what they did. They might not have been on the same day or the same event, but I'd like to kind of get her mind off of me and on to somebody else for a little bit. And that seems like what is the thing here. They brought them. And it goes on down. Samuel says in the 17th verse, when you were little in your own eyes. Remember, he was little in his own eyes at the time that he hid himself among the stuff. He said, at that time you were made head of the tribes of Israel. And Saul again says in the 19th verse, Samuel's telling him, wherefore then did you not obey the voice of the Lord, but did fly upon the spoil? And look in the 20th verse, Saul is still going to hang on to his excuse. Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. We can sometimes do that. And we did obey it. We obeyed maybe 98% of it was obedience. But we left out a little piece. And human nature says, but I'm going to press this part that I have done right. So I look at the difference in those. There's a song that says, it's not my brother, it's not my sister, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. When the Lord comes to me with adjustments that need to be able to make in my life. And what does Samuel tell him in the 22nd verse? Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. But look at this other verse down in the 30th verse. Saul finally comes to a place that he says, okay, I agree with you. I have sinned. Yet honor me now, I pray thee, before the elders of my people. What is he doing? He's saying, you know what? This is still something that's very important to me, is what the people think about me. So, okay, I agree with you. I didn't do right. But I want you to still make me look good in front of the people. I say, Lord, help me. Because David then had a son, Solomon. It says in 1 Kings, when it tells about him and what his accomplishments were, 4:32. He spake 3,000 parables, and his songs were 1,005. What a man of God. You remember he said there wasn't anyone wiser than Solomon. In fact, one of those that he wrote was, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Another instruction was, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. He gave a lot of instruction that he did not follow. I've heard the saying before, do as I say and not as I do. I wish we could find, in this walking with God, we almost don't find anybody that walked as close to God as Solomon did. God came to Solomon in a dream and he said, you just ask me whatever you want, I'll give it to you. And what did Solomon ask? He said, what I need is an understanding heart to be able to govern the people. It was like God was walking so close to Solomon. But then when we find that Solomon fell, I wish there was another chapter from the wisest man that ever lived, like Psalms 51, where David said, cleanse me, Lord, I'm sorry about it. If you look at the third visit that God made to Solomon, telling him that he was now rejecting him, Solomon went out from that, realizing there's somebody going to follow me. And you remember he tried to kill Jeroboam, because Jeroboam was going to be the one that would be coming after him. But instead, well, we don't see any place where Solomon finds a place for repentance. In my following the Lord, I want to be quick to when the Lord tells me, Dan, this is who you are, that I don't justify it, that I clear it, and I move on for the Lord. But I want to look at somebody else now, because I would like to have this title. In James 2, James, the second chapter, and 23. The scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. He was called the friend of God. How would you like to have that title? That he had the title that he was a friend of God. Part of his walking with God, you remember when God comes to him, he says, I want you to get up and just start walking. I'm going to take you to a land that you don't know about right now, but by faith I want you to follow. And he got up and he departed. You know, Sister Maxine this morning was talking about tests that come to us, and she talked about Abraham. He tempted Abraham. What he really did was gave him a test. I've given you a son. It's a son of promise. I've told you what that son is going to be able to fulfill out in the future, and now I want you to be willing to sacrifice your son. You know, that was in one day that God told him that. And the next thing we read was early the next morning, he saddled up and he went to take care of the job that God had given him. You know, God saw all those things. It was a test. And I think that's why we see that Abraham was a friend of God's. He didn't have to understand all of the steps out in the future. I just know this one step. And it tells me one more thing. He recognized God's voice. Because I would have looked at it and said, that's Satan talking to me. Because God is the one that has fulfilled his promise. He's done all this. But Abraham, in his relationship with God, he was able to understand his voice. I want to be able to do that too. Peter. You know, Peter had a walk with the Lord. The other disciples did too. To the point that in John the 6th chapter, when so many people at the end of the 6th chapter of John, says so many of his disciples went away and walked no more with him, to the point that now he's down to 12. And he says, will you also go away? And here's what came back. To whom would we go? You have the words of eternal life. So Peter had a determination. And when the Lord said, y'all are all going to be offended in me, that determination rose up. Peter said, though all men are offended, I won't be offended. You know, Jesus goes right on and he looks at him and he tells him, Peter, before the night is over, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me 3 times. You know, what I like about Peter was he was not faking something. He really believed that down inside, that's who he was. You know, sometimes down inside we can know who we are. I'm strong. I'm willing to go with the Lord. But you know, I need to be real sensitive. If Peter would have said, Lord, I don't understand it. My desire is strong to follow you, but you know things that I don't know. And Lord, I ask you to help me right now. I wonder if that could have been different for Peter. But Peter followed it on through. But there's something I love about the story. You know, Judas, I've been telling the girls some Bible stories, and we talked about Judas. You know, it says Judas repented himself. He was sorry for what he did, but he didn't go back and take care of what he did with Jesus. You know, when Peter denied the Lord and the rooster crowed, Jesus took the time to turn and look at him. I just wish we could see what was in that look. You know, you can say volumes with one look. You can look at somebody like, you sorry guy, I told you that. And you could just squint your eyes and look in a way where you just portray that. I don't believe that's what happened with Jesus. I believe Jesus just told him volumes in the look that he gave him. Peter, I told you, I'm praying for you. When you're converted, strengthen the brethren. And it said, what did it say about Peter? This is all part of walking with God. Peter didn't throw it away. He didn't go down and hang himself like Judas did. It said he went out and he wept bitterly. There's a song that we sing sometimes. I'll be a friend to Jesus. My life for him I'll spend. I'll be a friend to Jesus until my journey's end. And I have that determination. So Jesus gives us some instructions if we want to be his friend. I want to look at those in John, the 15th chapter. And in the 14th verse, here's how we can be his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. And it says in the 15th verse, henceforth I call you not servants. The servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I've called you friends, for all things that I've heard of my Father, I've made known unto you. You know what the relationship that he wanted to portray to them? I'm not calling you a servant. You remember, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye ought to wash one another's feet. He gave us an example of how to live, and I'm thankful for that. Over in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, Five and 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. So the children never make a mistake. They never have a change that they need to make in their life. No, but a dear child will be quick to be able to be ready to make that change. You know, I've had times where when I was going to be corrected, I would try to explain why I did what I did. You know, all I need to know is that I didn't do it right and I want to make the change. Be ye followers of God as dear children. Walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. Walk in love toward the Lord. I love him enough that my desire will be to make whatever changes need to be made. Over in Galatians, it tells us about some things that we can have for proof. Galatians 5 and 22. Just above it, it talks about the works of the flesh. I don't want to have any of those in my life. But the next part tells us in the 22nd, the fruit of the Spirit. You know, these things right here in walking with God, I need to check my levels of them. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Do I have a love for mankind around me? To those, really, those in my home, those close to me, and those that I work with, do I have a love for them that I should? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness. There's a song that says, Lord, with your gentleness, I would be great. You know, I can check these things and say, Lord, I want to be a follower of you. I want to walk with you. And if I'm coming short in these places, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. If I'm coming short up in those, I want to be able to make the adjustments necessary. There's one other one in John 34. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know, you know, these are followers of the Lord. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples. If you have love, one for another. No, it says one to another, and there's a difference, I think. One to another is it's not just in my heart, but it's shown by my actions. You know, we're living in a busy time to where it's pretty much I need the 24 hours for myself just to be able to make it. You know, I would have thought since with Cheryl gone, I just have all kinds of free time. You know, I kind of just use the house to go to sleep in the evening time because there's so much still to be doing. By this shall all men know you're my disciples. And I start thinking, you know, there's places just among us that I could spend a little bit of time giving a cheering word, spending a little time to encourage somebody. That love that is one to another, being able to help somebody else. We've got a lot of people right among the church that's going through some battles. And I want to be able to be available. Maybe not just of going around talking to them as much as, Lord, help me to spend more time in prayer with you for the needs that they have. I just think of this with Michael and Renee. This has gone on a long, long time. In fact, when y'all were at Pakistan, months ago, and she was having so much trouble. There's been a lot of nights that has gone by since then. I cannot imagine being awake all night. It'd be one thing if I felt fine, but I just couldn't sleep. But it's another thing if sleep is driven from me because of pain, is another level. By this shall all men know you're my disciples because you have love one to another. I want to be able to show that love more. Being a follower of the Lord, there's a song that I'd like for us to sing together before we close. It's number one in our blue book. You know, we have times where we can get alone with the Lord, and I want to be able to do that. We're in a busy time. We can be alone and still have so many things going in my mind that I'm not able to really be alone with Him. So this song, I'd like for us to sing it together, number one. I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses, and He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own.
the joy we share as we tarry there. None other has ever known. He speaks and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing, and he walks with me and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I'd stay in the garden with him, though the night around me be falling, but he bids me go through the voice of woe. His voice to me is calling, and he walks with me and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
You know the value of this, to really believe this. He walks with me and he talks with me. You know, I remember when Vice President Pence had an interview with a reporter, and in her talking to him, he said, you know, God talks to me and I talk back to him. And you know, she was not a believer and she made fun of it. Here's a man that believes he can talk to God. You know what? Every one of us have that opportunity to talk to God, to get up in the morning and say, Lord, I really don't know what's in my day today. I want to please you. I want to make heaven my home. I want to be a help to others around me, and I sure do need your help. I think something that he really wants for us to be able to show him is how much we realize we need his help. My life and breath are in thy hands, my joys and all I know, he's holding them. What does Sister Maxine say this morning? There's a cup, and it's filled with the things that will happen in our life. He knows what they are. I want him to be able to lead me. I would like to have that title that God gave to Abraham. I want to be a friend to God. I want him to be a friend to me. I desire your prayers.